Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The information depicted in this podcast is purely for informational purposes only. Please consult your healthcare professional before making any changes to your lifestyle or routine.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Boost Your Biology podcast. My name is Lucas, and I'm the founder of Ergogenic Health. Together in this podcast series, we will go underground to explore cutting-edge health and human performance insights that you simply cannot search on Google to help you upgrade your existence. So without any further ado, let's jump into today's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Boost Your Biology podcast. Today, we have a special guest joining us on the show. She's an epigenetic and nutritional researcher and goes by the name as Miss Biohacker on Instagram, which is totally the coolest name ever. Laura Drufa, welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone.
Awesome. Laura, maybe did you want to let my listeners know a bit about you and maybe share a bit about your journey so far?
Yes, of course. So I started studying nutrition like 5 years ago when I went to the army, and I had the opportunity to join some courses on nutrition. And then, of course, I was so fascinated by it that I wanted to know more about it. And I started studying at the university, nutritional sciences, and also on epigenetic. I did many courses on toxins, micronutrients, and at the moment I'm very interested in researching in epigenetics and finding out how we can influence our genes and that we're not the victims of our genes, basically.
Amazing. And so you said that, you know, part of your interest has been sort of epigenetics. Is there any sort of area within that that interests you the most?
Not yet, because I just started the course last year. And I think the most interesting part is how we can live with some mutations and SNPs. And I mean, everyone has them. And I think, it's the future of medicine and healthcare. And we could influence our health so much with knowing what to do and how to turn certain genes off and on.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I guess the most well-known polymorphism would be the MTHFR, you know, converting folic acid into folate. So maybe did you want to expand upon that one? Because a lot of people will
Want to definitely talk about it. Yeah.
For sure. So did you want to sort of explain maybe what that MTHFR polymorphism is for my listeners, sort of explain that?
Yeah, I think we should start with methylation.
Yeah.
So most people never even heard of it. So methylation is basically the process of adding a methyl group to a chemical. And this chemical could be a toxin or the DNA, so DNA methylation. And also hormones and neurotransmitters are methylated. Methylation is used for basically every process in the body, and it's so important for DNA protection and energy production, converting food into energy in our body, and for fertility as well. So I think most people never realized how big the impact is on methylating properly. And also it has a lot to do with the nutrition, things we put in our body, but also things we should not put in our body, and we should detoxify those things. Like also too much estrogen is very common in women today. And methylation is very important to get rid of those extra estrogen in the body and to support the menstrual cycle and also fertility.
Yeah, and maybe did you want to, I guess, with using methyl donors, you know, either supplements versus food, maybe did you want to explain the differences in the folic acid that's found in, let's say, spinach versus organ meats?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Beef liver. Eat your beef liver, guys. So we have the folic or the folate cycle, and which is basically we ingest folate from nutrition, and then we have tetrahydrofolate, which should be converted into the active form methyl tetrahydrofolate. And for that process, we need certain enzymes to convert them. And also, dietary folate, we should know that if we take it, for example, from spinach, we will not get as many benefits from it as if we would eat beef liver, for example. And this is why I also tell everyone, eat your organ meats, because they're so high in folate, or also eggs. Eggs are also fine. I eat eggs every day, basically, and beef liver at least once a week to make sure that my body is provided with enough folate.
Yeah. And maybe with the methylation pathways, I know you mentioned it assisting with estrogen detoxification. Maybe did you want to explain, the importance of that?
Yeah, basically it's especially for women, it's really important nowadays. We see the fertility, the fertility is inclining in women. The more and more people have miscarriages or babies that have certain diseases from birth on. And this has also a lot of to do with estrogen dominance, because women should balance the hormones. In the first cycle phase, estrogen is dominant. And in the second phase of the cycle, progesterone should be dominant. But if we have too much estrogen, this could lead to a lot of problems like PMS, endometriosis, and in the end also to infertility. And I know so many girls that are on the pill. I was also. And this could also lead to estrogen dominance. And if we do not have enough methyl donors, we can't convert or metabolize this estrogen efficiently. And this, in return, leads to an estrogen dominance. And this also is very important for most people. I mean, every second person is overweight in Germany.
Every second, one in two.
Wow. Yes. And this is not only important for women, it's also important for men, because when men are estrogen dominant, they get those man boobs, and then they also have testosterone problems, and it leads to a man that is not very masculine. And this is actually a bad thing. So a man needs to be masculine, and to support it, you should make sure that your body can convert those estrogens so that you have sufficient amounts of testosterone in your body. And this is why you should support your methylation processes in the body. And as I just said, you have the folate cycle in the first place, but this is not what methylation is about. The important thing is you convert, you have the amino acid methionine, and this is converted with enzymes into SAMe, S adenosyl methionine. And this is the body's unique methyl donor. So every time your body has a methylation process in the body, it needs SAMe to give a methyl group away to, for example, detoxify and converts your neurotransmitters. Also, if you have too much dopamine, we will come to that later when we talk about the COMT gene variant and how your body can convert the neurotransmitters and metabolize them correctly so that all your methylation processes work well.
Yeah, really, really well explained there. And I guess the other aspect there, Laura, is maybe did you want to discuss how methylation is linked with homocysteine as well?
Yeah. So also in the methyl cycle, when you have that SAMe and it gives this methyl group away, then there is a step where homocysteine is created. And homocysteine could be converted in two ways. Either it's glutathione, body owns antioxidant, which is very important, and it's converted with the enzyme CBS into glutathione, or it could also be converted into methionine again. So it's a cycle. It starts with methionine and it ends with methionine. And for that process, vitamin B12, the active form, is very important. So methylcobalamin. And methylcobalamin gets its methyl group from the folate cycle. So, you know, it's very important that the folate cycle works and also the methyl cycle. And this is why it is very important that you eat sufficient amounts of B vitamins in your nutrition. And it's not so smart to just use a multivitamin, because the B vitamins are mostly in a not active form. So your body needs additional methyl group to activate those B vitamins. So make sure to eat your beef liver other animal products. So, I mean, milk, cheese, and steak, a good steak, other organ meats, they're all high in B vitamins.
And this is the other really important point, is the perfect balance of these nutrients found in these these superfoods, which are never considered superfoods, but they really are, because they're full of these.
Yeah, like kale. Kale is probably the worst thing you could eat to support your nutrient deficiencies. Please don't do that.
Yeah. Well, what about those that have the raw kale smoothies in the morning?
Oh, no. They are also high in oxalates. And I don't want to talk about this now. This is a rabbit hole. I'm not talking about this, but just don't think that dark leafy greens, will support your body with a lot of nutrients. It's not like that. Animal proteins are perfect, or animal foods in general are perfect, and they're high in all those vitamins your body needs. And also seafood is very good as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. I agree there. I'm definitely more animal-based than probably 80% animal-based, and then maybe 20% plant-based, my diet at the moment.
Yeah, I think most people could improve their methylation so much by just having a real food diet with good animal foods, like I just said, and not just using a supplement, because supplements also need some genes and to be converted. Like the COMT gene is very important also for metabolizing those supplements, and some supplements even could be harmful when you do not know much about it, like I just said, with the inactivated form of folate, then you will have a problem with methylation, especially if you already have the MTHF arsenic.
So this COMT, C-O-M-T gene, did you want to maybe explain what the function of that is?
Yes. So it's called the catechol O-methyltransferase. And I actually saw myself in this, because there are people who have a good working COMT gene, and there are people that have a very bad working COMT gene. And this COMT gene is very important to metabolize your neurotransmitters, also when it comes to stress, and dopamine, adrenaline, norepinephrine. For all those neurotransmitters, you need the COMT gene to convert it and to add a methyl group. So yeah, that you do not have like high adrenaline all the time. And if you are, for example, like very full of motivation and always excited, and you have a high self-consciousness and you're a workaholic and just want to do more and more and more, and you have problems with sleeping, and you also have high sexual desire, which is not a bad thing because it also metabolizes estrogen, and then that means that you have probably a slow COMT gene. So you can't convert those neurotransmitters very good. And people with a fast COMT gene are the exact opposite. They're very quiet. They have no motivation, and they're also not so optimistic. And this is also, I mean, I think we both have a slow COMT gene, but you know, those people who have a fast COMT gene, they're like always, I'm not motivated, I can't get my work finished, and I can't motivate myself to wake up and to do those things, and they do not have goals. And what's also very interesting, when guys are like 15, they have high testosterone, and testosterone even converts those neurotransmitters even faster. So those guys, they need an adrenaline kick very often. They go bungee jumping, or they buy a motor bicycle or something like that, because they convert dopamine so fast that they always want that dopamine hit. Or when you want to listen to music all the time, it means that your brain wants that dopamine hit and wants to keep up with the dopamine, because it gets converted so quickly. Yeah. And they also convert estrogen very fast, which could lead to your low libido, and that you're not so happy with your sexual life, for example.
Yeah. And as part of that COMT picture, the whole expression of that gene, there's many things that can either increase it or decrease it as well, right? Like even, you know, ECGC found in So do you want to explain more about that?
Yes. What I think is the key message for the listeners is that they should make sure to provide their body with even more folate and vitamin B12. Also, vitamin B6 is very important, and choline from eggs. And with that, you could support this process of converting those neurotransmitters faster, or also a little bit slower if you need to. And the problem is, I think, when people are very stressed, so like stressed all the time, it doesn't have to be just mental stress, but also physical stress. Doing sports, over exercising, just thinking about work all of the time. Even social media is a stressor, or toxins from the air. If you live in a big city, you're stressed all of the time. Blue light, like I'm surrounded by blue light right now when I shouldn't be. And this makes it even harder to get rid of those stress hormones and also cortisol. And this is when the MAO comes to play. This is also a gene, an enzyme that converts stress hormones. And for converting it, you need SAMe, methyl groups from SAMe. And what happens when you're highly stressed, constantly stressed? You need so much SAMe that you do not have sufficient amounts of SAMe to convert, or to just for DNA methylation, which is a very bad thing, because there are the so-called oncogenes that are genes that could lead to cancer development. And those genes should be silenced, of course. And for silencing those genes, you need the tumor suppressor genes. And if you cannot, methylate those tumor suppressor genes, you will have a problem with those oncogenes. So in the end, a bad methylation could lead to cancer in the end, or to infertility as well.
That tumor suppressor gene that you're referring to, is it the P53?
Oh, I'm not sure yet. I have a. I'm not sure yet.
Okay. Yeah. I think the main point here is that the methylation can affect so many different systems of the body. And as you literally just mentioned there, undermethylators are at increased risk of various forms of, you know, potential cancers.
Basically, any type of cancer you could think of has to do with epigenetic abnormalities. It's all about epigenetics. It's not about your genes. I mean, most people do those gene tests and just say, oh, I have those cancer genes. And then they're afraid. And then they think of getting cancer one day. But actually, they can influence it so much with their nutrition, right? Nutrition and also leaving the bad stuff out. Like, don't go to McDonald's. It just makes it worse.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of detoxification, what have you explored there? Because I know you're a biohacker like myself, so I'm sure you incorporate some detox strategies. So,
yeah, I mean, everyone has toxins in the body. Even babies, the fetus, they already have toxins from the mother in their body. So we cannot just stop having toxins. Even if you live on the land and you think the air is clean, it's not true, because the farmers that spray pesticides, they are in the air everywhere. They can reach like more than 100 kilometers from the place where it's sprayed, and it's everywhere. So you cannot save yourself from toxins, but you could support your detoxification with eating sufficient amounts of methyl groups. And in some cases, it makes even sense to supplement those methyl groups. You can supplement SAMe, for example. I think it would be very beneficial and just support your microbiome that your toxins can be bind with certain supplements. I think you already made a podcast about it. And about detoxification, it's a big topic. But essentially, when it comes to methylation, make sure it works and make sure you provide your body with those methyl groups.
Mm. Great stuff. And also, I know that you mentioned psychoepigenetic mm-hmm. model. So maybe do you want to explore that one?
Yes, of course. So, most people think it's hoo-hoo to say if you manifest something and visualize it, you will reach your goal very easy. But there's actually science behind it, because every time you think of something, every time you experience something, your brain releases signals to your body and it creates every emotion you feel, and everything releases a hormone or a neurotransmitter. And this could either be bad or a good thing. And if you're always in a bad mindset, if you do not have motivation and think everything is bad and the world is against me, you will release bad signals in your brain. And those signals, they will hit at some point the cell membrane and the cell nucleus, where it interferes with our DNA and the epigenome. And so it's hard science that we can influence the epigenome with our thoughts, with our feelings, with our emotions, with people we surround ourselves with. Even that could alter our genes in a good or in a bad way. This is when we should also talk about oxytocin, because most people or even biohackers think about which supplement could I take and how could I optimize this? And I need my blue blocker and I need to go to sleep. But most people miss out on oxytocin and on the benefits on it. And there was actually a study, or not a real study, done by a king like more than 100 years ago or so. And he had a lot of babies and he just said, we will give those babies everything they need, like water, food, light, everything except love and physical touch. And all those babies died because they missed out on oxytocin. So what is really important is just to hug someone, spend time with friends you love, physical touch. A partner would be nice as well, or if you're surrounded by your family. And just, yeah, I mean, especially in those times where everyone just wants to be like, stay away from me, don't touch me. No, it's not that good. I mean, we see those cases, but we also see a rise in physical health physical health is declining and depression is rising and suicides are rising and all those things, and they're influenced by oxytocin. So social media is not a real hug or a real friend. It's just your phone. And most people live in their phone and think, I'm so connected with all of my friends around the world, which is a nice thing. Don't get me wrong. I also use social media. But it's still very important to have physical contact with people and real conversations, touch. You actually exchange electrons if you touch someone.
I guess the main point there is the anti-aging effects of socialization and connection. Because even with oxytocin, I think you may have seen one of my posts where it actually has a positive feedback loop.
It's crazy, huh? It's really crazy. But it's just so obvious if you think about it, how we evolved. How did we evolve? We evolved in small tribes where we had a good connection with all those people, where we had a real food diet, a good night's sleep, a good environment, no toxins in the air. We have still those same genes. They haven't changed. But we have a lot of more stressors on our body, like people living in big cities and disrespecting their circadian rhythm which also alters our genes in a very bad way. And all those civilization diseases, they're not there in those tribes that are still living like our ancestors lived.
What about, I guess, when it comes to like circadian rhythm, shifting the circadian rhythm forward, I guess, like, so are you someone who believes, you know, get to bed early and wake up earlier? Mm-hmm. Is that someone?
Get to bed. Like I always say, try to wind down when it gets dark and try to be awake when it's, light outside and the sunrise is there. But it's actually not that easy when it's winter and it's like very dark all of the time. So my recommendation for this is get yourself a red light device, especially for the morning, and also a blue light device, a good daylight bulb, because if you live in Sweden or in Northern Europe, for example, it's very dark all of the time. And then you need to support your circadian rhythm with those light lamps. And what is also very interesting, there's a gene that produces melatonin. But if there is artificial light around, the gene is turned off and you cannot produce melatonin. It's no wonder that so many people have sleeping problems and cannot go to bed. And what I also posted a while ago was, when I lived in Munich, and it's a really big city and it's full of EMFs and light 24/7, and I track my sleep with Aura, obviously. And what I saw in my Aura statistics is that my sleep was so bad. My heart rate variability decreases. And I do not have that deep sleep phases and like it should be. My readiness score is bad, etc. And when I sleep at my parents' house here and on the farm, I have the best sleep ever. And you can really measure it, how your environment and the circadian rhythm and toxins in the air and all those stressors influence your gene expression. It's so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. When I first bought my first pair of blue blocking glasses, which was maybe 5-6 years ago, the difference it made on my sleep quality was phenomenal. Like, I felt it just improved sleep straight away, like within the
first day. Really? Yeah. Just immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. It just helps so much. Nice.
Yes. I also have one, but if I would wear it now, I would get tired. So I stopped using it for that. I totally agree. It's a life changer.
Even, I guess, maybe to explain to our listeners, like the first thing in the morning, right? Like the first thing people should be exposing themselves to is out, like going outside and actually exposing themselves to the sun, right?
Definitely. I always say that I think at some point it's even more important, the circadian rhythm than the nutrition, because light is also information on a molecular level, because your cell senses all those light and the wrong light as well. Blue light is toxic to the body if you are surrounded by blue light too much. I mean, we need blue light, natural blue light, but not from light bulbs and from the TV or from the smartphone. And I think it's also a good hack to just not watch TV in the evening and not use your smartphone before you go to bed and stare at it like this, even if you wear your blue blockers. I mean, there are some hacks and how you could improve it, but it will still disrupt your sleep and it's just not optimal. I mean, try not using blue light devices and just go with candles for one day and you will see how your sleep will improve. It's so basic, but yeah, it's still not easy.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And even, I guess, that term epigenetics, I know we've sort of discussed, you know, the nutritional intervention, so how nutrition and diet affects some of the methylation pathways, but then maybe, you know, what else is affecting it from a lifestyle perspective? You know, is it, does exercise, how does exercise impact that as well?
Yeah, definitely. So even if you stop moving every 20 minutes, you alter your genes in a negative way. So if you sit all day on a chair like this and work, most people work in home office today and just they are just on their computer all day, and this alters your genes in a bad way. So what I usually have is a stand-up desk, and I stand in front of my computer and move all of the time. And you make those micro movements, and they are very important. But also, if you go to the gym or if you do endurance training, it's a stressor on the body, but it's a good stressor. And you can metabolize your other neurotransmitters more easy. So especially if you have a slow COMT gene, like we two have, it's very good to do some exercise because we support our methylation because we're not so stressed all of the time. Because we could handle stress like cortisol and adrenaline easier if we implement some workouts in our lifestyle. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's often a neglected aspect is just the micro amounts of movement every day.
Yeah, micro amounts. It's not about just going to the gym every day. This would actually be not so good for most people because they're already so stressed, and we also need to regenerate our body and recover good overnight. When it comes to recovery, also methylation is a big topic because we need a methylfolate for human growth hormone, which we release also during the night. And if you do not have sufficient amount of methyl groups, you cannot produce human growth hormone. And this is why so many people feel so like they had like they drank the night before. And because they didn't release sufficient amounts of human growth hormone, this is also important to go to bed early, not too late, respect your circadian rhythm so that when melatonin is released, then you will release human growth hormone. And in the morning, you could then release cortisol, which is a good thing to wake up, because when people are highly stressed in the evening, are on their smartphone, or it's a stressor. The smartphone is a stressor. So when your cortisol is high in the evening, it's most likely that it's very low in the morning. And then you feel like you have a headache or you can't really concentrate because you lack cortisol. And you could actually do something like a cortisol graph and just write down on which time of the day you feel stressed or awake and alert, and on which time you feel calmed down and just relaxed. Because if it's the other way around, then it should be you're stressed in the evening and you're calm and tired and not so alert in the morning, which is not good. And then you could support it with just calming down, cutting out all stressors in the evening, just read a book, talk to a friend, or do something that just makes you calm down. And in the morning, you can go out, like you said, watch the sunrise, go outside, go grounding, and help your body to release that cortisol, because blue light in the morning is very important to make our bodies to that it produces cortisol.
Yeah, really, really, really well explained there. And I guess the other aspect as well, Laura, is I'd love to hear your perspective on fasting. Like if you, you know, what's what's your thoughts on fasting, if you, whether you do it or not?
I do have an opinion on fasting, and it changes very often, I have to admit, because you hear so many things about it from different perspectives, and I respect both sides. And I think there definitely are a lot of benefits from fasting, like autophagy, and that it helps to get rid of the cell damage and toxins as well, and to make your body work good again. But if you're already in a very stressed state, it should not be the first thing to do, because it puts your body in a stressed mode. And if you're already in survival mode and your parasympathicus is activated, your sympathicus is activated, then it's not necessarily a good thing. So you should be already in a, your body should be provided by the nutrients it needs, and you should not do it just to lose weight or something. But if you want to support your autophagy, it's a good thing. This is my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm similar to you. I mean, I think it's another tool that we can utilize. I do see it as very stressful for athletes in particular, particularly if people are training like myself, let's say 5 days a week, 6 days a week. Doing fasting is going to make getting enough calories in difficult. Personally, that's for me, because then, you know, otherwise you're shifting all majority of your calories in super late in the evening, and that's not always the best thing. So I think it's like, yeah, there's a time and place for fasting. I've seen it work for numerous individuals, but and if you're, let's say you've made a mistake with an experiment or something, you've done something to yourself, then sometimes it's useful to actually like use the sauna. I've got a sauna here, and then, you know, engage in fasting as well.
Oh, I love sauna. I'm the biggest fan of sauna, especially infrared sauna. I will have one day, my own.
Yeah. Well, we've got an infrared, the complete infrared sauna. So I've got a whole protocol for that, you know, artichoke extract, calcium deglucurate, glutathione, and things like that.
Body detoxification to support it as well, and to get rid of the toxins. Yeah, that's really good. I always also take binders with it when I go to the sauna. But yes, I agree with fasting, that it, for most people, if they're not in a stressed state, they could benefit from it. But for example, for my clients, when they want to lose weight and they already are so nutrient deprived, I just focus on giving them the nutrients they need in the first place, and to make a good relationship with food again, and to fill the body up with everything it needs, and to leave out the shit they don't need. And so that they can support their thyroid as well, thyroid health. And then at a later point, we could think about fasting, but not for stressed people.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought up the thyroid aspect as well, because people aren't unsure about how fasting can affect the thyroid. And I think extreme levels of fasting can definitely lower T3, which is not something
you want. Yeah, I think so too. Because, I mean, it's basically telling our body that we're in a stressed state and we need to get food as soon as possible. And also fasting raises adrenaline, norepinephrine, cortisol, and cortisol are antagonists to the thyroid gland. So if you want to do it often, then you will probably suppress your thyroid function. It's not good.
What about, I'd love to hear your perspective on fruit, like whether you incorporate fruits or, you know, your perspective.
Yes. I love fruits and I include them definitely. So I'm a big fan. So when I was younger, I thought ketogenic is the way of life, and I always was a big keto fan. But then I realized we give our body a signal with not eating fruit, and it's basically quick energy. And we tell our body that it's summer, and summer is a sign for our body that there are many foods available and that everything's rich in foods, and it helps us de-stress because insulin is released, and this is again an antagonist to cortisol. So especially stressed people should not go on a ketogenic diet because they will be even more stressed.
Mm.
But it also depends on where you live, because I'm also a fan of seasonal and local eating. And in winter, there is usually not so much fruits available. So I don't think it makes sense to give your body in the deepest winter pineapple when there is no pineapple, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the same, the exact same here. Although our supermarkets, we can pretty much get anything anytime, really. Yeah, but I guess from like the methylation and epigenetics, was there anything else you wanted to dive into at all? Like anything that we sort of maybe missed?
I think what most people underestimate is that when you want to get pregnant, so if you're a woman or if you have a woman and you want to have a baby, just make sure not just when you want to get pregnant, oh, I should take folate. No, it's not that easy. You should support it way before that. But there was an experiment. I don't know if you heard about it. The agouti mice.
Agouti mice. What do they do?
It's a gene, and that predisposes your body to be to develop those diseases like cancer and heart diseases and diabetes, etc. And they did the experiment with the mice that were ill. And they gave them folate, vitamin B12, they gave them choline, zinc, methionine, all those things that support methylation. And what happened is that the offspring from the mothers that had all those nutrients in the diet, that they turned out healthy again without those gene variants.
Wow.
So you can, if you want to have a baby, make sure you eat the most nutritious diet so that your offspring will be super healthy and will not miss out on those nutrients, because your body will use so much folate even more when you're pregnant and also when you want to feed your baby. And or most people who want to get a baby again afterwards, they should wait at least 1.5 years to fill up all their nutrients in the body again, because their body is so deprived after pregnancy. And this could also have a bad effect on the second child. Oh, I'm lucky that I'm the first one.
Well, that's the first I've ever heard, because I'm the second child, but I know I'm smarter than my brother. So hopefully he's not listening to this podcast. He's musically a lot more gifted than mm-hmm. me. I'm just sort of making a joke there, but yeah, I totally agree. The nutrient depletion mm-hmm. impacts the, you know, the fetus and the quality of the sperm as well. So it's absolutely from a gut health perspective, is there anything there that interests you?
You mean about the epigenetics?
Yeah, like microbiome interaction with the genome, epigenetics. Have you seen any research?
Yes, of course. There's big research on that topic. So if you want to methylate properly, you should also make sure that your microbiome is in a healthy state, obviously. So, I mean, especially when it comes to serotonin and melatonin, it has a lot to do with the gut, because most of the serotonin, like 90%, is produced in the gut. And out of that serotonin, melatonin is produced. And as we know now, melatonin is not only our sleeping hormone, it's also big antioxidant and anti-aging hormone, even one of the biggest, I think. So yeah, make sure that you have a variety of foods that you ingest with all those nutrients, and that you feed your good bacteria, also sprouted foods. I'm a fan of sprouted foods and fermented foods as well to support my microbiome. When it comes to probioticas like this, I would be aware, because not all of them are really good, especially when you have a condition like SIBO. It could actually feed the bacteria. Yeah, you should be careful with it. But this is why we have practitioners who can do testings and find out what things you should take, because there is no general advice with you should eat more fiber in your diet, because for some people it could be even worse if they start eating too much fiber.
I agree. I definitely agree. We've seen studies where people that have constipation, where there's one study where they removed fiber and it fixed, it literally fixed their constipation. Do you remember, have you seen that study?
No, I haven't seen that study, but I think it has to do with those bacteria, those bad bacteria that leads to constipation. And when they removed it, because bacteria feeds on that fiber, you feed your bacteria, even if it's good, or it could also be bad, but you would feed it with those fiber. And yeah, if it's bad, then you will just promote growth of that bad bacteria.
Yeah. So maybe Laura, do you want to, was there any other areas, I guess, you wanted to discuss before we slowly wrap up the show at all?
If you do not have a question.
Cool. Well, then I guess maybe, did you want to let my listeners know how they can connect with you, where they can find you online?
Mm-hmm. So you can find me on Instagram. I also work with Ryan from Levite together. And you can just message me there.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, it's great to connect. It's I'm sure that we'll all end up meeting each other one day at maybe a seminar.
So nice.
Yeah, maybe some cool expo where we all give a talk or something. But it was awesome meeting you, and thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome.
Thank you everyone for joining in to today's episode. For in-depth show notes and lessons learned, visit nofilter.media/boostyourbiology.
This has been a No Filter Media production.
Say what you want.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.